Glacier Bay just isn't ice and mountains and rock. It's plants and forests and an amazing variety of, well, just things to study that are green and growing. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman, and welcome to Glacier Bay National Park. We're so glad you're joining us on this tour of Glacier Bay on your Holland America Line ship. Hopefully, it will help you enjoy your visit to Glacier Bay. And Paul, you're right. Glacier Bay isn't just glaciers and icebergs and seals and whales, although those are wonderful things. There is green stuff. There's green stuff along the shoreline.
An amazing amount of green stuff. You know, this is really what's called a temperate rainforest. And there is so much moss and lichen and plants and just trees everywhere. But, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, the trees here aren't that old. They only go back maybe 250 years.
It's fascinating. Well, here to explain a little bit more about that is Faye Schaller. She's a park ranger and naturalist in Glacier Bay National Park, and one of her specialties is plants.
And, you know, when you're on the deck of a ship, you say, well, I'm so far away from the forest. But in fact, there are so many things that you can see. And, of course, we're talking about animals as well. But the amazing diversity of plant life up here, which is almost changing daily because of the change that's in Glacier Bay National Park. Faye, tell us a little bit about what you can see from the deck of a ship.
Well, you can see quite a bit. It is very interesting to take a look at the patterns of life changing because of the area has been more recently deglaciated. As you travel up and get closer to the glaciers, as you get into glacier country, you can see a change in the landscape. You have, in the southern part of Glacier Bay, an area that has been deglaciated for several hundred years, so you have a completely different landscape than you have in the northern part, and of course, different animals that live there too.
Well, and when we're talking about the southern part, that's the part that you enter and leave by. The straits, Icy Strait is down there, and of course you come into Glacier Bay early in the morning, and the naturalists and park rangers get on early in the morning, but you can see it at eventide as well when you're leaving, and it is very, very different. I think it's more what people expect to see in Alaska, the heavy forest, the rainforest.
Exactly. You have these wooded shores that are around every corner when you are entering Glacier Bay. What you are seeing are western hemlocks and Sitka spruce. And Sitka spruce, of course, is Alaska's state tree. The western hemlock is Alaska's most abundant tree. So you have this forest area to start with. And you're also going to notice that in front of the forest, reaching down almost to the shoreline, are some willow alder thickets. So we have an exact succession, an exact community in each area as the land is reborn again, is revegetated after the glacier retreats.
Now, the significance of this to a botanist or to anyone interested in plants is you know exactly when this all happened, so you can actually date the plants.
We do, and we know this because of this wonderful gentleman, Dr. William Skinner Cooper, who arrived here in 1914. He came here specifically to study the tiny world of plants. He wanted to find out how life returned to an area after it was deglaciated, and how long did it take. So he's here, down on his hands and knees right away. He sets up these quadrants, which he later returns to over a period of time, and he is studying which plants come back first, and then second, and then third, and then, of course, how long does this take? What he finds in this intricate theory of plant succession is that the pioneer plants come in first, and those would be the lichens. They break down the rocks. You know, this is all barren land when a glacier retreats. And so you have the lichens breaking down the rocks, creating soil. The pioneer plants come in, things like dryas, or some people call it yellow mountain avens. So look for these mats close to the glaciers, these matted, low-lying plants that are trying to reclaim the land. Mosses are climbing and clinging and crawling all over the rocks, trying to get a foothold and get soil built up so that other pioneer plants can come in. And then willow and alder thickets will come in after that and support a different community of animals.
So as you look at the glacier, you see the beginning. And then as you go down bay, you basically see the ending, at least in our time frame. Obviously, the ending is many, many thousands of years in geological and botanical time. This is really fascinating for a scientist to study because very few places in the world are like this.
Exactly. That is what is so attractive about this place. It is a place where we have this dramatic retreat of a glacier and life returning. It's an area that was set aside because of Dr. Cooper's efforts. He was so inspired by what he found here that he worked very hard to get this area set aside. He had the backing of the Ecological Society of America. And finally, after many years of his efforts, this area became a national monument in 1925, set aside to study geological processes, the plant succession as it's occurring, not necessarily what other national parks were set aside for, what happened in the past. But here, this falls under the protective umbrella of the National Park Service to study what is happening right now. So it was him, Dr. William Skinner Cooper, it was he who had the inspiration to protect this area, to have this plant study going on. It was the plants that is the reason this area was set aside. So that's very, very exciting. And as you travel northward up through Glacier Bay, make sure you're looking at the landscape and how it changes. Notice the tall wooded trees, the shorelines. You're going to see a lot of different splashes of color here and there, and that will change as the season changes too.
Well, and Faye, it might surprise people that the season here is, of course, summer, but within summer, there's a great deal of change within the season.
Exactly. You have, at the beginning of the season, the bright green leaves, the brand new leaves of things like cottonwoods. We have black cottonwood here and the spruce tips. And on shore, all throughout the season, you can see things like algae. We have rockweed, a little bit different color, a brownish, but the bright green sea lettuce is something you're going to be able to see on the shorelines. And then in the water itself, you will find bull kelp, another type of algae. And it's the bull kelp that the sea otters like to wrap themselves up in.
Okay, now describe the bull kelp for us, because I think that's something that people may not be used to seeing from above. I mean, a lot of times you'll see kelp washed up on beaches, but here in Glacier Bay, you're actually sailing through it, and you'll see patches of it all along the trip.
You will see these huge patches of bull kelp, and what you can do to determine what if that's what you are looking at is look for long strands. You know, some of these strands can be about 100 feet long, and then they have a big bulb at the top, and that's a flotation device for the bull kelp.
And it's true the sea otters wrap themselves in this sort of to anchor themselves in one position maybe during the night or even during the day?
They do. It's very fun to watch the sea otters wrapping themselves. They're twirling and twirling and twirling around, getting themselves nice and secure and cozy in the bull kelp. And they will use this to keep them from floating out of their territory. What I like to see are the mothers wrapping their pups, the little babies, up in the sea kelp so they can go off and do some diving, come back, and their pup is right there waiting for them right where they left them.
Adaptive plants, I guess, use of plants. You know, we're not the only people who use plants in the world. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you share during your shipboard talks, because you're on the ships every week, and it must be fascinating to listen to the story of plants from the deck of a ship.
I think so. The plants that we can see from the deck of the ship. For instance, we were talking about patterns. Right now, and we are mid-season, you can see the fireweed blooming. Fireweed is a plant that comes in after an area has been disturbed. So look for large patches of magenta, bright, bright pink on the shorelines, in the meadows. Another plant that's very visible from the deck of a ship throughout the summer are the lupins, Nootka lupin. And this is a plant that has purple blossoms. It grows pretty tall, so it's visible, just like the fireweed, 3-4 feet tall. The Nootka lupin is a plant that the brown bear like to dig up, excavate entire areas, getting to the root. So when you're scanning the shore, looking for wildlife such as moose and bear, take a look at the patterns of the plants as well. You're going to see these wonderful, bright splashes of color no matter what season you're visiting Glacier Bay.
Well, and you mentioned the bears. Brown bears, it might be a misnomer here in Glacier Bay, but they're actually kind of a golden color, is that right?
And I'll never forget the first time I saw a bear from the deck of a Holland America cruise. That bear looked more like a moss-covered rock, and it started moving.
Moss-covered rocks. Sometimes you are going to see rocks that look like bears, and sometimes you're going to see a bear that looks like a sleeping rock. It's going to be a sleeping bear on the shoreline. Now, do remember that most of the time you are quite a distance from the shore, so keep your binoculars handy all the time, and scan those shorelines looking for the wildlife. The coastal brown bears can be any color. They're not always brown, just like the black bears anywhere here are not always black. So we have cinnamon black bears, and they can be any color. Just look for movement on the shoreline.
Well, and captains, I understand, are legendary for finding bears, so that's something to watch out for. Everybody wants to see the marine mammals and the animals, but the plants are equally as fascinating. You know, we talked about Dr. Cooper earlier and this pioneering botanist who came into Glacier Bay and really put it on the map and was so influential in establishing the National Monument and now, of course, the National Park. Tell us a little bit more about him. He must have been fascinating.
He was. Here's this man who comes. He's a professor of botany from the University of Minnesota. He comes here, and he is just thrilled to be here. Imagine coming to a place like this to study the plants. It's all so new, so he's enjoying himself very, very much. And what is fascinating about him is his determination, but also his enjoyment of being here, exploring this brand new world, and loving every minute of it. One of the wonderful things that he does write is one does not ordinarily think of wild strawberries growing next door to a glacier. But Alaska is full of contrast and paradox. What a wonderful way to put what he found here in this treasured landscape, this area that has so many wondrous scenes for everyone to behold.
Well, Glacier Bay National Park certainly does have wondrous scenes for everyone to behold. Faye Schaller, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for joining us in Glacier Bay National Park. This recording is a copyright production of Holland America Line and is made possible through the cooperation of the rangers and scientists who work and study in Glacier Bay National Park.